home for the very best in contemporary Christian music. 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It is Friday, and that's a good day for Bob, and I pray it's a good day for you as well. So we've got family celebration coming up, not this week, but a little over a week from now. We're going to be celebrating a special milestone event, and so that's going to be a time of great celebration. And but I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to Merritt Assembly of God. If you do not have a church, maybe you're new to the area. There's been a lot of new people that have moved into Brevard County, and there are people who've been in Brevard County that don't have a church, who are looking for a church. And if you are one of those people, we would like to invite you out to Merritt Assembly of God. 165 North Grove Street, two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney, two blocks east of Tropical Trail, and two blocks south of Mila Elementary. That gives you a pretty good idea of where we are. And used to be a residential neighborhood that there was a church right in the heart of it, and now it's more of a business environment, and so we do business for the King. And that's what we're there for. So Merritt Assembly of God exists to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our families, to be a blessing to the church, and to be a blessing to the community, to be a blessing spiritually, relationally, financially, however God enables us to be a blessing. That's what we want to be. If that sounds like a church you would like to be a part of, we meet Sunday mornings at 10:30 for worship. We do have a Sunday school class as well that meets at 9:30, and we would be honored if you chose to join us for one of our worship experiences. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 30. We're going to finish up in this passage today. So I'll begin reading in verse number 23. Verse number 23 says, "Then the whole assembly agreed to keep the feast another 7 days, and they kept it another 7 days with gladness. For Hezekiah, king of Judah, gave to the assembly 1,000 bulls and 7,000 sheep, and the leaders gave to the assembly 1,000 bulls and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. The whole assembly of Judah rejoiced also, the priests and Levites, all the assembly that came from Israel, the sojourners who came from the land of Israel, and those who dwelt in Judah. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, to heaven." Chapter 31 says, "Now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, and threw down the high places and altars from all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, every man to his possession." So we'd been talking about this Passover celebration that Hezekiah instituted, and it impacted not only the nation of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin, but it also reached and touched some of the 10 northern tribes. And they had such a marvelous time celebrating that in the passage we read here this morning, it says they didn't want to stop. They wanted it to go on for another 7 days. And I love it when people begin to experience just a taste of what heaven is going to be like. And they said, you know, I'm not ready to leave yet. I'm not ready to leave yet. When I first came to Merit Assembly of God, it was there were not many people there. And whenever I said amen, there were not many people who lingered. And so there were a few, but not many. Most of the people, they were out the door as soon as an amen happened. Now, with many of our services, there are people who will continue to fellowship with other believers because they like them, because they enjoy the company of other believers. I talked with a missionary one time, and he said, you know, we don't have near the sectarianism overseas as many of the churches here in America do, because on the mission field, when you are in territory that's hostile to the gospel, you realize what a blessing every believer is. And so you realize that you're not in competition with other believers, that you're in cooperation with them. And so many of those places, there's greater unity in the body of Christ where they're trying to take new ground for the kingdom of God than you will find in places where there's not much in the way of persecution at all. So these people were just so thrilled with what they were learning to know God, celebrating with the people of God. They said, let's keep this going. And so the king and the leaders made provision, and the celebration continued on for another week. And it said that, again, we talked about this on yesterday's program, that there was great joy in Jerusalem. For since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. So we've talked about this a few times, 250 years, roughly, give or take a decade or two, from the time of Solomon to the time of Hezekiah. What we're talking about here is in the 580s and 721, 722, so the 720, 730s era before Christ, and Solomon lived in the 900s. So you've got a give or take range there, and that's a long time to go in between celebrations that God wanted every year. So I want to ask you today, how long's it been since you experienced the joy of the Lord? I knew a person one time that they absolutely did not believe in the joy of the Lord to the point where they struggled with the thought of Jesus laughing. But I will tell you, I believe that God rejoices. In fact, I can show it to you in the scripture. A lot of people think that heaven's going to be a very somber place. I think it's going to be a jubilant place of festivities. And so I think it is perfectly fine for the people of God to experience the joy of the Lord. In verse number 27, it says, then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people. I think I mentioned on yesterday's program, maybe it was the day before, but I think it was yesterday, that I don't have to go very far to see my shortcomings or my faults, my imperfections, or my inadequacies. And so when I was studying this word, and I've preached multiple series on the blessing of God, and when I looked up this word in the lexicon, I saw that this was not just a vocal pronouncement. You know, if you go back to Numbers chapter 6, verse number 24, so I'm going back there just a second. This was the way that they were supposed to bless the children of Israel. This was Moses' instructions to Aaron and his sons. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So that is a great blessing. But the word blessing here in verse number 27 not only means to make a vocal pronouncement over, it doesn't mean just declaring a certain series of words or a certain sequence of words over people, but this is a blessing that actually strengthens the people. I'll let you in on a little secret that the devil doesn't want you to know about. When you have a vibrant, healthy relationship with God, it's going to make you stronger. It will make you more of a threat to the kingdom of darkness. When you are walking in a healthy, holy, and empowered relationship with God, it's going to have a positive impact on your family, on your coworkers, and on your friends. And the reality is, the enemy doesn't want you to know God because he doesn't want you doing great exploits. He wants you to know as little about God as possible, because then he's able to twist and distort and contort the words of God, and you won't be any wiser for it. And I think that we need to realize that we need to be more diligent in spiritually strengthening ourselves than we are in physically strengthening ourselves. Now, I'm not against exercise. I'm not against physical fitness. I just happen to believe in spiritual fitness as well. And so if I hear a testimony of something good God's done, I'm going to talk about it. If I see something in God's word, I'm going to talk about it. I'm not just going to talk about it in church. I'm going to talk about it in other conversations as well. So years ago, I went to a revival. God did amazing things in my life. I still remember it to this day. And I talked to everybody about it. Everybody. My wife said, "We're going to need to get you a new testimony because you're just talking to everybody about that." And praise God. I pray that we ought to bring out of our treasures, or out of our storehouses, treasures that are old and testimonies that are new. And so I pray that you will be like, as I discussed this passage with our men's group back in March, and I said, I pray that you men will be like the Proverbs 31 husband who, along with his children, rose up and called his wife blessed. And I pray that you empower yourself. I pray that you are blessed and strengthened, not just yourself, but for your spouse and for your children and for your coworkers. I pray that everywhere people turn, they would see the strength of God. And so it says, verse 27, "And the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, to heaven." In other words, the priests were doing what they were supposed to do, and God heard about it. I remember going to a Promise Keepers event. It was a pastor's event. It was in Atlanta. I believe it was in 1996. I can tell you that they scheduled that over a Valentine's Day weekend and realized that since they were trying to strengthen and improve pastors' marriages, that they had scheduled that unwisely. And so they provided a bunch of Valentine's Day cards, and they mailed them at their own expense to where they would get to our wives. So I remember at that event that there was a preacher, and he was talking about the passage where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. He said, I believe he was a pastor in Pittsburgh, if I remember. And he said, so when I read that, this is how I read it. He said, if you can get two or three believers to agree on anything, I'm going to come and see it for myself. And I've just always thought that was a pretty humorous take on that. The Levites started doing what God wanted them to do, and when they prayed, it wasn't just something that left their lips. Those words had a target. And the target wasn't the ears of the people. The target was the throne of heaven. And I tell this story. I told it a few weeks ago. I was having breakfast with some other ministers, and I was describing how I prayed a prayer one time, and we had a visitor that used to come around occasionally and happened to be there one night, and he came up and said, your prayer was inaccurate. And my response was, I'm sorry. I wasn't praying to you. I was praying to my Heavenly Father. And if the words that crossed my lips were not 100% precise, God has a tremendous filtration system, a sound system that is able to take the words that crossed my lips and change them to where they reflect the heart that was trying to reach to God. And I said it a lot more succinctly than that, but that's the case. We have generated a spirit of fear in praying that people don't want to pray because they say, well, I might say something that's not right. My Heavenly Father just wants to talk to his kids. So I'm at the stage now that I can have conversations with my grandchildren. And some of my grandchildren, they're a little bit older than the others. And I can have a conversation with them on a completely different plane than I can have with some of my younger grandchildren who are just learning to speak. But the joy of having the conversation with both of them is just as much fun. It's just as desirable. And in fact, some of those children who may not be able to articulate words as precisely as others have greater joy about spending time with me than some. And you all... all of you parents and grandparents know what it's like. They grow up and suddenly, you know, they lose the wonder. And I don't think we should ever lose the wonder of the fact that God hears our prayers, because it was his holy dwelling place, and that's heaven. So let me say that heaven is not just a pain-free, suffering-free environment that's going to go on forever and ever, and there's no taxes and no mortgage and no utility bills or car payments. Heaven is a holy place where there's a holy throne occupied by a holy God, surrounded by angels who are holy angels who refuse to rebel against God and declare his holiness and his greatness nonstop. And you and I are called to be a holy people. And so if our goal is to reach a place of holiness, we need to realize that we need to be as holy as God wants us to be. And so I pray that holiness will not be something that you consider optional, but that you will see as a great blessing. Holiness just means there's going to be less misery in your life. It means that there's going to be less carnality, less victimization of the enemy. And so let's be holy as God is holy. Chapter 31, and this is where we're going to conclude this week in this particular study. It says, now when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah and broke the sacred pillars in pieces, cut down the wooden images, and threw down the high places and altars from all Judah, Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh until they had utterly destroyed them all. What happened was the people from Judah and the surrounding tribes, they got a taste of what the presence of God was like. And they found that the taste was like nothing else. And they liked it. They enjoyed it. And what they realized was the bill of goods that they had been sold about the pleasures of idolatry were just that. They were lies. They weren't true. All of a sudden, they come together and they experience the blessing. They experience the joy of purpose. They experience the joy of forgiveness. They experience the commanded blessing of unity around the worship of Almighty God. The commanded blessing that Psalm 133 talks about, even life forevermore. They realized that once they were in the presence of God, they didn't want that to end. They realized that the presence of God was incompatible with the presence of their idolatry, and so they got rid of their idolatry. All of that set them up for a continuing celebration of the goodness of God. They got to know God, and the more they got to know him, the more they wanted to know him. And so all of this is building up. It goes 2 weeks. 2 weeks could change a nation. Because that's what happened here with Hezekiah. And so then not only are Hezekiah's prayers being answered, but now the prayers of the Levites and the prayers of the people are arising to God. God's hearing them. And all of the people leave the celebration and they go throughout their region and they start ridding it of everything that wasn't pleasing and honoring to God, and they rendered it useless. So there would be some people, and they would try and fearmonger and say, you know, that's the problem with Christians, is they don't want anybody. Listen, you're free to worship whatever or whoever you want to worship, but please understand that all results are not going to be equal. Worshiping idols will lead to greater bondage, and worshiping God will lead to greater joy and greater freedom. And I would just like to point this out, that I want to get rid of anything in my life that is interfering in my worship with God. That's what I read into this passage, is I want to make sure that there's nothing impeding my worship of God. And where that really begins to change a community or change a nation is when it goes beyond the desire of one person and it becomes the united desire of a group of people, and it impacts a house, it impacts a community, it can impact a tribe, it can impact a nation. And so that's what happened. There were several people, and they said, we want this to where there's no indication that these places ever existed. They utterly destroyed them all. And so I don't just want to slow down sinning. I want to rid it out of my life, and I pray that you do too. Verse number one ends this: then all the children of Israel returned to their own cities, and every man to his possession. And I will tell you this as we conclude this: what happens at the house of God has got to impact our homes. It's got to impact our families. It's not meant just to be something that takes place whenever we go to church, and we compartmentalize that and we have a great time, and then we go back to our jobs, go back to our families, go back to our homes and our neighborhoods, and it doesn't impact us. It doesn't impact them. We need to take what happens at church and take it back to the community. The bad stuff that happens in our community, we need to get that in line with God's word so that we can experience the joy of the Lord. And so as you get ready to go into this weekend, I pray that you'll prepare yourself, prepare your heart. We talked about that earlier this week, so that God can do in you and through you the things that he wants to do. You have a great weekend. We'll be back here Monday on the Refresh Radio Program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.